Hi everybody and welcome to Cooking in Real Time. My name is Zora O'Neill and this week I'm going to be cooking something by request. That request was for me to cook something in a tagine. And a tagine is one of those little Moroccan pots. They're round and they have a cone-shaped lid and they are good for cooking, slow cooking stews because the cone-shaped lid condenses the steam and makes everything exceptionally tender. And a tagine is also the name for the stew that is cooked in the pot. So tonight, actually, I'm not going to make something that is typically Moroccan spiced, but I am going to make it in my tagine. So I guess we can call it a tagine. However, you don't have to have a tagine to make a tagine, if that makes sense. You just need any kind of heavy stew pot with some kind of tight-fitting lid. You want to have a nice snug lid so that all the moisture stays inside. I'm getting out my pot right now. I have the fancy version of this. Some very, very generous friends gave me a Le Creuset brand tagine for a present a few years ago, and it hasn't seen a lot of action, but everything I've ever made in it has really been exceptionally good. It's a heavy coated cast iron base and the traditional clay pot top, and you just cook it on, leave it on the stovetop. And what I'm cooking in the tagine is fish, because that's about the quickest thing to cook, the quickest protein to cook. Of course, you can make a tagine with chicken or beef or lamb or whatever you fancy, but I figured for our purposes tonight, for actual quick cooking time, fish would be a good thing. So, like I said, this isn't going to have traditional Moroccan spices in it. Some of them are baseline, but the actual combination I got from an Indian cookbook. I may have mentioned this cookbook before, Madhur Jaffrey's Indian Cooking. I love this cookbook. It's kind of what I use to teach myself how to cook, just by cooking every recipe in there. And there's this absolutely great eggplant recipe in there, and it has cumin and ginger and garlic, but what made me think it would be good with fish is the fact that it has fennel in it. And fennel in French cooking, and in a lot in the Mediterranean, actually, fennel and fish are traditionally cooked together. So I figured the softness of fennel would be really nice here. And we're going to put some tomatoes in. It's a little experimental, I admit, but the flavor combination is very satisfying. I've at least tested that part before, so we know. I have a big piece of a tilapia fillet. This is probably like the most, at this point in the United States, the most common fillet of fish you can buy. You could use basically any kind of not too crazy fishy white fish in here. Don't use salmon. I think that would be overkill, but pretty much any kind of white fish would be good. So, oh, and before I forget, just to keep me honest, I'm also going to make a little side dish of carrots with this, and that will be a little bit more traditional Moroccan spices. I thought I'd put a little bit of cinnamon in there. So, first things first, to get the fish going, we want to get a lot of stuff chopped up for that. I'm going to take a chunk of ginger, and I'm just going to slice off a couple rounds that are maybe an eighth of an inch thick. So I have these little like coins of ginger that I'm going to throw in the mix. Let's see. Let's do about three pieces. Because we're not going to be having a really long cooking time, we want higher quantity of spices than I would use if I were cooking chicken or something that takes a bit longer. We kind of want the flavor right up there to start with. I'm also going to coarsely chop up some garlic. And I'm just slicing the little end off the garlic and then smashing it with the side of my knife to get the peel off. And if you smash it hard enough, you really don't have to chop the garlic much. I think for our purposes, it's totally fine to have these nice, coarse, chunky pieces. And I'm doing about four smallish cloves. All right. That's pretty good. Usually, if you've listened to these things before, you know I usually have my pot on the stove, preheating and stuff like that, but I have just a few little things I want to get out of the way, and since I don't cook with this pan a lot, and it's not as heavy-bottomed, it's made out of cast iron, but it's not as thick as a lot of the skillets and things I usually cook with, so I kind of want to be on the, by the stove when it's warming up. I don't want to turn my back on it too much. So that's why I'm doing a lot of the, all the chopping and prep. Now I'm rinsing off some cherry tomatoes or grape tomatoes, and I'm going to slice those in half. I've got a pint box here. I'm using about half the pint. I'm making two very modest portions of this. You could conceivably chop up a whole pint of grape tomatoes, but I'm not going to do that because I always like to have a few left over for whatever, my salad in a few days. I never want to totally use up all my ingredients if I don't have to, unless there's something that's getting a little tired in the fridge, then I am happy to. So I'm slicing up my grape tomatoes and I'm doing the trick I talked about a couple podcasts ago. You can go on the website and see photos of this, but I'm basically sandwiching the little tomatoes inside two inverted takeout container lids so they stay in place, and then slicing through them with the knife. Thank you, Saver Magazine. My life has not been the same since I read that. There's the second batch of tomatoes. Okay, all right, I feel like I've got enough stuff prepped here. Now we can turn on the heat under my little tagine, and I'm gonna drizzle some oil in there. I'm keeping the heat on medium. I don't want the whole thing to get up too hot and sizzly. Drizzling enough oil in there to coat the bottom. Actually, I take that back. I'm gonna turn the heat up a bit because I am going to do a little standard Indian spice treatment here. That's another reason I want to be ready with all my stuff. So I've got everything at the ready here. And what I also have out is whole coriander seeds and whole fennel seeds and whole cumin seeds. You could also use the ground things and add them a little bit later in the process. But since I like to keep whole seeds on hand to keep them fresh, they last a lot longer when they're whole rather than dried. I like to keep those on hand, and then sometimes I'm just honestly a little too lazy to actually grind them. And what I'm going to do now is a great way to get that flavor into the mix of whatever you're cooking without actually grinding the spices. I'm throwing a big pinch of fennel seeds in. The oil is hot and has just started to shimmer. Big pinch of fennel seeds. About half as many cumin seeds. Cumin is kind of a strong flavor, and I want the predominant thing here to be, like I said, that soft fennel. And then sort of equal amount of coriander seeds. You can just hear, maybe you can hear the spices just softly sizzling there. The oil is not quite as hot as if I am doing a straight up Indian thing. I use a different pot. I use a heavy skillet and I get the oil really hot. So you just want to barely toast the spices as soon as you can smell them. And usually it's the cumin you'll smell first. As soon as you can smell them, that's basically good. That's enough. You don't want them to get burned. So I'm throwing in my garlic, which is gonna bring the temperature of the oil back down. And I'm throwing in my little slices of ginger. And I'm going to turn the heat down as well. So I am slowing down the temp on the spices so they don't get too toasty. I'm just stirring this around enough to get the garlic all fragrant, which is the main thing. And now I'm going to throw in my tomatoes. And they're really going to cool things down. You can hear them sizzling. And I've got my heat turned down to super low at this point. And I'm just giving everything a good stir. And I am throwing in a big pinch of salt. Okay, so this is essentially ready for me to put the fish in. I can smell the spices, and that is a great sign because this is smelling like the flavors that I remember, which is gratifying. Clearing off my stove a little bit. So I'm going to just slide the fish in there. And I'm just sort of nestling it. I don't want it directly on the bottom of the pan. And if you're doing any pot you're doing this in, whether it's a tagine or what, you really don't want the fish on the bottom of the pan. So a lot of tagine recipes you'll read, will have you laying a layer of thin sliced potatoes or carrots or something along the bottom of the pan, and that's you can also do that. The tomatoes, there are enough tomatoes here to sort of keep the fish up off the pan. Basically, you don't want it browning. You want this fish to steam through nicely. So I've just put it over the tomatoes and scooped a little bit of the flavoring on top. And I'm going to sprinkle a little bit more salt directly on top of the fish. And then, oh, I can't resist. I'm going to put a little bit of butter in because butter really makes fish taste great. So I'm just going to put a little knob of butter, which I don't know, a tablespoon, less than a tablespoon, on top there. And I am putting my tagine lid on. Again, I have the temperature on super low, so it's just sort of simmering away in there. And I suspect that fish is going to take, I don't know, 20 minutes? Maybe not even that. It all, for you, it will depend greatly on what kind of fish you have, how cold it is, if it was maybe frozen once, kind of fish, how thick it is, all that stuff. If you do have a fillet of fish that still has skin on it, then you don't have to worry so much about protecting it from the bottom of the pan. As long as there's a bit of oil there so it won't stick, you can lay the fish directly on there, skin side down. Now I'm going to get my little carrots ready. I've got 3 carrots, giving them a rinse. I'm going to peel them. Just thought of something else I might want to put in the fish. We'll see. It could use a teeny bit of lemon just to brighten the whole thing up a bit. So, as soon as I'm done with these carrots, I'll go back and add that. Okay, carrot 2 of 3 being peeled. It's funny, I don't cook carrots very often, and when I do, I think how delicious they are and I should eat more of them. So it was actually kind of fortunate there were carrots just sitting around in the fridge looking for somebody to do something with them. And for some reason, when I think Moroccan stuff, I do think of carrots. They put them in a lot, and the carrots and cinnamon combination is kind of nice. So I've got them all peeled. I've got them on my cutting board. I am actually, what I'm going to do is grate a little lemon zest into the tagine. Zesting, I've got my little microplane zester. You can hear the sizzling is a bit noisier because I took the lid off. And putting in the zest of about 1 lemon, not even that, about half that lemon. I don't want it to be too overpowering, but it does add a nice little brightness to the whole thing. All right, lid back on. And let's see, where was I? Carrots. Carrots coming for you. All right, so I'm just cutting these carrots in little rounds. Of course, the thinner you cut them, the faster they'll cook. Mine are maybe 1/4 of an inch thick. You can do fancy things. You can cut them in long, thin pieces, what have you. Cutting them in rounds, little carrot coins, is probably the easiest way to go. I'm eating the occasional one. This is also the way to go. I've got a little bowl here to throw them into. And when I'm done chewing, I'll start telling you what I'm doing here. Mmm. So speaking back to the tagine, you might have noticed I didn't put any additional liquid in there. If you're doing a longer stewed tagine, you probably will want to add a little bit of liquid. In the times I've cooked chicken or beef or lamb in the tagine, the liquid really does sort of cook down and cook away, and whatever sauce is in there gets very syrupy. It's delicious, but you do run the risk of everything sort of glomming onto the bottom and potentially burning. For the time we're cooking the fish, which is not very long, I think just the kind of ambient liquid in the tomatoes will be perfect. The tomatoes will soften up and sort of give up their goo a little and make a nice little sauce. All right, my carrots, and now I am looking for the skillet in which I want to cook my carrots. So there it is. Coincidentally, it is an orange skillet. All right, so got that on the burner and putting in a drizzle of olive oil. And again, I cannot help myself, butter. I do love butter. I don't put it in absolutely everything. I can just think of my old roommate laughing at this point because he thought I was the most butter-crazed person. But it is really good with carrots. I mean, it's good with everything, but the way I'm doing the carrots, we're going to do a little sweetness with them, and then the sweet and the butter is really nice. So hard to argue with. So a drizzle of olive oil, teensy bit of butter, like just a little bit off the knife tip. And I am grabbing, again with the whole spices, I'm grabbing my cinnamon, and I'm just going to put a stick of cinnamon there in the oil that's heating up. Again, you could use already ground up cinnamon if you want to. Go light on it. You may as well just let the carrots taste like carrots, and if they have a little hint of cinnamon, that's great. But this way, using the whole cinnamon stick, it's just a nice way to infuse the cooking oil with cinnamon and not totally overpower everything. So this is interesting. My tagine is definitely creating quite a bit of liquid. I can see a little rim of water building up around the edge of the tagine, so I just lifted that up and let that fall back down in the mix. All right, now I'm putting my carrots in and tossing them around just so they get all nice and covered with the oil and butter mix. And I'm gonna squeeze a teensy bit of lemon in there. If I had oranges, I would do oranges. A little orange juice is nice. It's a little preferable to lemon, but I just want a little bit of liquid in there to help those guys soften up. So I'm turning the heat down to medium-low, and I'm putting a lid on there. And those can do what they're gonna do for a little while without me messing with them. And the last thing is going to be my starch, which a lot of tagine recipes, like I said, call for putting potatoes in, usually as a buffer between the pot and whatever meat you're cooking. I don't like cooking potatoes in the tagine because in order for them to cook in the time you're also cooking the fish, especially, you have to slice them very thin, and that's kind of a pain in the neck. So I do kind of want potatoes. You could also, I'm rinsing them right now, you could also, of course, make couscous. That's kind of standard. You could make rice. You could boil up some orzo pasta. I was considering doing that as well. So basically whatever starch to sop up the sauce from the fish, that's up to you. I happen to be doing potatoes because we have a ton of them actually right now, so that's another incentive. So I'm just cutting these into little smallish chunks. Again, the smaller you chop them, the faster they'll cook. And these I want to get boiled up and pretty soft in about 10 minutes. So I'm cutting them into kind of half-inch chunks. And I'm putting them in a pot with very small amount of water, just enough to cover them, and they're pretty snug in the pot. So again, this speeds things up a lot because you don't have to wait for the water to boil. And I'm dumping in quite a lot of salt. With any sort of starchy boiled thing, you want to put a lot of salt in the water so it absorbs that while it's cooking. I might have chopped up one too many potatoes. Not quite fitting in the pot. Oh yes, they will. Oh yes, they will. There we go. Severe risk of boiling over. We'll have to keep an eye on that. Okay, that goes on the back burner on high. And we'll put a lid on it. Where did the lid go? There. Great. Okay, my carrots are sizzling, actually more than I want them to sizzle. I'm turning them way down low. And actually, since I've got the lid off now, right this second, I will add the last thing that's going in there, which is a little bit of honey. And it really just has to be a little tiny bit. I'd say like half a teaspoon, but obviously you don't want to get the spoon out and measure because it's going to get all stuck in your measuring spoon, and that's kind of pointless. So I'm just taking a fork and sticking it in there and wrapping up a teeny bit on the end and dabbing it in. And there we go. So there's a teeny bit of liquid in with my carrots, and they've given off a little bit of liquid too, so they're basically just steaming in there, and eventually that liquid will cook down to a little glaze on the carrots. All right. Check on my tagine once again. Oh, and actually my fish looks pretty done. I think I'm going to turn off the heat. Get a fork out to test that. Basically, just until the fish flakes is how you want it. And that does look done all the way through. Yeah, I'm just going to keep the heat off. That only took about 10 minutes. So yeah, this is a pretty thin piece of fish. So I'm basically going to keep the heat turned off here, and I'm going to scoop a lot of the liquid up, pour that over the fish so it has a chance to soak up more of the flavors while it's sitting, and hopefully it won't cook through too much more, because like I said, there's no heat under it. And now we wait. We basically just have our potatoes boiling, which now I'm sort of regretting how long they're going to take, because I didn't realize my tagine would be so all-powerful and quick cooking. Sometimes these timing things do not work out quite as planned. But as usual, this gives me a little time to wash some dishes and tell you a little bit more about the tagine principle. Tonight, when I was trying to think what I would cook in there, I was considering shrimp also, because shrimp goes nicely with a lot of these spices, but shrimp cooks so quickly, it really, you don't have much time to let everything simmer together, right? So it's possible to do shrimp, it definitely is. If you're going to do it, I would definitely keep the shells on, because the shells would combine with whatever liquid is in there and create a nice little, they'd give off a nice extra flavor to the sauce that you create in the end. And then you can just peel the shrimp at the table when you're eating them. And also the shells give them a little bit more protection. They don't cook through quite so fast. But yeah, shrimp are touchy, so I would, if you're going to cook them in the tagine, I would do them, you know, 6 minutes maybe and check on them, because there's nothing more depressing in the world than an overcooked shrimp. Should not have died in vain, this little shrimp. And then on the other end of the scale, the thing that takes next longest to cook is chicken. And actually, if you use boneless chicken, it won't take too much longer than fish, except it won't taste like anything. So if you use chicken, definitely recommend using chicken with bones in, because like keeping the shells on the shrimp, the bones add a little bit of flavor to the end product. And you really need that in something that's not cooking for a really long time. With chicken, I don't know if this flavor combination would be the most exciting thing. However, you want something a little sturdier to go with the chicken. And in that respect, you can definitely move into some of the traditional Moroccan combinations. I do a lot of things with olives to add a little extra punch. Lots more garlic, more cumin, more cinnamon. There's a whole lot of things out there, and what is great about tajine is you're like, I wonder how that all goes together, and you just throw it in there with no special treatment, and the flavors combine really, really nicely because it's such a concentrated cooking space. And I'm just going to check on my carrots. They're still being quite sizzly. If we get to a certain point and my carrots are done, they're not quite tender. No, they have a few more minutes to go. Let me just taste one here. Oh, hot! Hot, hot, hot! And I think I may have gotten a little carried away with my honey. Really, only a tiny, tiny bit. Just like what's on the end of your fork. I'm adding a little salt to that. And putting the lid back on for just a couple more minutes. Just going to tidy up over here. And then going back to the tajine, the sort of longest time frame stuff is beef or lamb. And again, it's great if you can use some meat with some bones in it, although it's not quite as essential for red meat as it is with chicken. So if you are in a little bit of a rush, obviously beef or lamb without any bones is going to cook a little more quickly than stuff with bones. But you could go either way. So I probably should not have gotten so carried away with boiling so many potatoes, but I always like to have a few extra left over because they're nice to have in the fridge. They're good. Already boiled potatoes are great to fry up for breakfast to go with your eggs. They make a really nice cold salad like I made a while ago back in the summer. I did that episode with the Niçoise salad. We have been on a bit of a potato kick here. Oh, speaking of them, they're boiling over a little. I'm gonna turn, well, I'm gonna put the lid a little bit ajar so they're not boiling quite so forcefully. For lunch, I had a great lunch of cold boiled potatoes with thick yogurt and capers and tuna and olive oil. Super, super delicious. The other thing I'm going to put on the carrots, I nearly forgot, is a little bit of Aleppo pepper, because straight up sweet things can be a little cloying. It's nice to add some spice just to sort of balance that out. So I'm adding a couple pinches of Aleppo pepper. You could use maybe one small pinch of cayenne pepper if you have that. Aleppo pepper isn't quite as spicy hot, so I can afford to be more generous with it. This is smelling very cinnamony, so I'm actually going to take the cinnamon stick out now. Let's see. I think I'm going to leave the lid off and just let these sizzle down a little and let all the liquid evaporate away completely so they do get, like I said, nice and glazed. I think they could also use just a little bit of black pepper. Like I said, you don't want the sweet part to be too overpowering. So just put a few little lines of black pepper in there. That should go well with the honey. So we've got our carrots and we've got our fish. Now if only our little potatoes would cooperate. Well, I broke my own cardinal rule with the potatoes. I should have had them on boiling absolutely first because they do take a relatively long time to cook and they don't have to be served piping hot. So I should have got them going first. I don't know what came over me. Anyway, I'm going to go ahead and take the fish out of its little thing. Then I can have it all ready on the plate, at least, for when the potatoes are done. If you were smart and made couscous instead of potatoes, it would probably be done by now. And everything would be ready to roll. Let's see here. Well, this looks good. The great thing about cooking fish is fish tastes really great on its own. If you get a nice piece of fish, it tastes super good, so you don't have to worry about spicing it like crazy or marinating it. A lot of recipes for fish tagine, especially, a lot of Moroccan recipes call for making a mix called charmoula and marinating the fish in it. And I'm sure it tastes great, but a 2-hour marinade beforehand is rarely something I will have thought of, at least on a weeknight. So you can always incorporate the flavors like I did by adding the spices to the oil and putting the garlic in the oil. Oh, you know what I'm going to do also? What'll be nice with this is a little tiny bit of cilantro for garnish and just for overall fresh flavor. Give that a little rinse and chop that up. So that is another thing, if your timing gets off on your dinner a little bit and you're waiting for something, at least you have time to make everything look pretty before you're totally ravenous and devour it all. And obviously, as I'm plating this stuff up, I am sort of kicking aside the whole pieces of ginger, but you can eat the whole spices, of course. They'll be very tasty. And the whole pieces of garlic, or sort of mashed up pieces of garlic, they are fine to eat. But yeah, you don't want to serve up those big round pieces of ginger. Mmm. Oh, wow, delicious, if I do say so myself. All right, turning off carrots and plating those guys up. And if my potatoes cooperated, they are ready now. Oh, they are. Excellent. Fork tender, they flake a little bit when I poke them, and they're good to go. Great. Okay, we're ready to eat the fish tagine, the sweet hot carrots with a little bit of cinnamon and a little bit of hot pepper and honey, and our potatoes, or you may have made couscous. So enjoy your dinner, and feel free to send requests. This was by request, and I'm very glad to have gotten it, because poor tagine, it needs a little workout, and I'm happy to do it. So any requests you got, send them my way. I'm at zora@cookinginrealtime.com, and of course everything's on the website. There'll be recipes there and photos. So enjoy your dinner, and talk to you in a couple weeks.